What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Good morning, millennials, and welcome back to The Toast. Happy Monday. It's unfortunate.
Womp, womp.
But it is what it is. And you know what? We're getting one step closer. We're like actively starting the week. You know, it's better than just like waiting for it to happen.
Yeah, we're starting things.
We're starting
new things, new week. Anything is possible this week, you guys. Whatever your dreams are, chase them, make them happen.
If you got a chance, take it.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
If you have a chance, take it.
And that's the song that won.
Period.
Country song over Taylor
Excuse
Swift.
Excuse me? Everything okay?
Yeah, no, no. It's like, I can't remember what it won, but it won something over Taylor Swift last night. I won like the pre-show.
Last night?
Pre-show awards.
What song is it?
Cody Johnson.
Oh.
If you got a chance, take it. It's actually really good.
It sounds like a great song with a great message.
That's exactly what it sounds like. That is exactly what it sounds like. So we have a great show today. We've got Grammys recap. We've got Bryce in the building. We're going to talk. We're going to mention it all.
Yeah. A lot of Grammys because you watched the whole thing. I watched until Luke Combs performed. And so unfortunately that meant I had to watch about three-fourths.
Jinx.
Or 75%.
Jinx, you owe me a soda. You owe me a soda. Go get me one.
You've been drinking my sodas all week.
You can't talk until I say your name.
You've been drinking my sodas all week, so I've gotten you a soda.
You're not respecting the rules of Jinx.
No, I'm not. I don't respect games.
That was like the most annoying gameplay, like to play
as a
kid.
Not if you don't play.
Yeah, I guess it's not an annoying game if you don't abide by the rules.
No, they don't exist.
Jinx. Also, another annoying one was when you farted, like safety.
Yeah.
And then what was the rules? Like if somebody said something before you said safety, you couldn't talk.
You had to kill yourself.
No, like what was doorknob or something? You know what I'm talking about?
I don't play dumb fucking games like
okay,
you.
Okay, but like you, like we abided by that game.
But
as kids.
I didn't process the rules because I wasn't playing. So they're not ingrained in my psyche.
You're such a bad friend. Like friends play games with one another.
And I do everything else with you.
It's
like
so true.
There's things you don't do with me.
We spent the whole weekend together.
We did, and week. My friends were here this weekend.
It was really nice.
We had such a fun, like really such a fun weekend, but also very wholesome, mm-hmm. You know, aside from like Saturday night when we went out partying.
Lit. Yeah.
But like we cooked, we sat around, we swam. We didn't read, which was surprising for our crew.
But we should have read instead of deciding to watch The Triangle of Sadness.
Honey, I can't even give that movie a platform on my platform. It's like, there's things that I can't control in this world.
I know.
But I can control what I give air to on this show. It's not the biggest show in the world, but it's my corner of the universe.
Let me offer a rebuttal as to why we need to talk about it, okay?
To make sure after this, not one of you watches it. Not one. If you were thinking about watching it, do not.
Zero. Do not. Zero. 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 None. Yeah. Let me tell you why. Because I watched it because, and I'm calling out my friend Abe. He was like, this movie on his Instagram story. It's like,
He's disgusting.
It's basically White Lotus. And then after he said it, I saw like a bunch of people. So it's like the normalization of the film. I was like, oh, this is probably
a good
movie.
You guys are disgusting. Anyone who saw the movie and didn't come away being like, don't you dare watch that movie is a disgusting person. Sorry.
It was so disgusting. And like, if you can get beyond, like if you're not easily triggered by like vomiting and diarrhea, which is just like kind of disgusting to watch, the movie itself is not good either. But like right. There is like literally a 20-minute scene that is so disgusting.
Of people, okay, spoiler alert, because none of you are watching it now.
They get seasick.
They get like food poisoning, seasick, there's a storm. And it's 20 minutes of people on the boat, different scenes of them vomiting, shitting, diarrhea, flowing from the toilets all over the boat, slipping in, like, 20 minutes of it.
It's so vile. And the way that like this movie has been so discussed, like, and there's just been discourse around it, and nobody thought to mention the vile, disgusting feces and like human waste. I'm shocked by the culture. I really am.
And the first half of the movie is so boring, but you think they're laying the groundwork for a movie. So it's like, okay, I'll try and understand like the dynamics here. And then I actually didn't finish a movie, but I probably watched with like 30 minutes left.
Like 40, yeah.
Okay, that's when I got up. But I got to like the main point of it. Yeah. And then you told me what happened at the end. And it's like nothing about the first half of the movie is at all germane to the second half of the movie. So like, why did I watch all that crap?
Crap.
Crap.
I don't give a rip. It was crap.
So my journey of watching Oscar movies, like I'm done, you guys. It's a disgusting world out there.
Yeah. My journey, I watched The Menu and Triangle of Sadness. And neither of them were that compelling. I do still want to see The Whale.
Of course.
But that's it.
Of course.
I'm done. I tried. I can't relate to...
You guys are sick.
I can't relate to the cinema industry. I really can't. It's not for me. And that's okay. It's not for me.
And anyone who saw the movie and had anything other than it's disgusting to say about it, like, can't relate. Sorry.
Couldn't be me.
Maybe we'll talk again someday.
Maybe.
Not today.
Maybe.
Not today.
Maybe. It's maybe. A big maybe.
But you never say never. Like, things could be bring people together all the time.
I will fight it forever. I will never say never. I don't know, those are the only words I know.
Those are the only important ones.
So fucking true.
So that's what we did on Friday night when we should have been reading and watching anything else. Sam wanted to watch The Sound of Music. We should have listened to her.
100%.
For all I, Maria would never.
The Baroness?
Would never.
The Baroness would never.
The Baroness doesn't diarrhea.
No. So this is just like, I feel, you know, I don't take this platform lightly. Like, I feel like every episode you should leave with a message or a moral or something. And today's is do not watch A Triangle of Sadness. Like, trust and believe. Like, it was infuriating. And then the ending, I think they were really trying to make some sort of statement on, like, elites and, you know, the disparity between the rich and the poor. And like, I get the message. And I think they actually do that really well in White Lotus. This was so like exaggerated and unrealistic and unfulfilling at the end. Honestly, it was fucking terrible.
Yeah. It was insane. It was an insane movie in the worst ways possible.
Agreed. And now that like I've tuned into the Grammys from start to finish, I feel like I've gotten like satiated in terms of award shows. Like, I don't think I'll be watching the Oscars.
Yeah.
It just depends where I am in my life. But
I don't, it's not fun to watch the Oscars when like you really don't have a horse in the race.
Yeah. Well, if I see The Whale, I'll have a horse. I'll have a whale.
You'll have a whale in the race. Because with the Grammys last night, like we all had horses and none of our horses won really.
Yeah, I have a lot of
And they did their favorite thing where everyone took home one award. All the big, you know, I think Lizzo won an award. Adele. Harry Styles, Adele, Beyonce.
It wasn't a sweep when I really thought it would be either a Beyonce or a Harry sweep.
It should be a sweep, you know? What was tops?
No, like if we're really kind of, you know, judging the best, then there is only one.
Yeah, and make a choice. Make a choice. Have a everyone wins. I know you want all these people to make speeches because it's like good for your ratings, but like make a choice. That's always interesting.
Make a choice. I completely agree. Choices were not made.
And the thing is, it would be a really hard choice. I don't even know what choice I would make between Album of the Year with Harry Styles, Beyonce,
Lizzo,
and Adele.
No, the thing is, it's not your choice to make. That's
and
why
Kendrick Lamar.
That's why there's a whole ass like company called the Recording Academy whose job it
is. No, but it's not like I'm saying like, Harry was robbed.
Right.
Like, I don't know really, you know, I you'd have to tally up the votes, but like someone should be sweeping.
Yeah.
And it's not the sweeper.
No, it's not. It should be, but it's not. Be.
So who would you have swept?
Harry.
Yeah.
Like it was, whether you love him, hate him, whatever, it's undeniable that Harry's music really defined this year. And it was the whole album. It wasn't just one or two songs from the album. That's how you know that like an album really, like people digested it.
Permeated.
Yeah. So he won, I think like 2 out of 3 that he was like.
Top vocal and album of the year. Album of the year is like the biggest.
The one.
It's a category that feels like a real category. Oh.
And Harry's album was an album that felt like a real album.
Do you think that when he gave us nothing in that interview and then was roasted for it subsequently, that like he ever knew that it was probably the most profound quote of the year?
Like, it's like when Kylie said, like, this is the year of just like realizing things.
And at first it goes viral because we're making fun of it. But then like we can't stop saying it because it encapsulates everything.
And it is in its own way quite substantial.
Yeah.
Like, although it was mocked for being, you know, no substance, inconsequential.
But maybe the joke's on us. We didn't understand the deeper meaning. But I'm obsessed.
It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Because his album is an album that feels like a real album.
It does. From start to finish, it is a cohesive work of art.
Yeah.
So let's dive in, because we have a lot to talk about from the Grammys. I have so many thoughts. Some good, some bad, and some like I'm gonna, like, people are need to get roasted. Like, it just has to be done.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't loving what I was seeing.
No, honestly, I wasn't in love. It was like a bad award show, but it was good and enjoyable because everyone showed up.
Yeah, everyone was there. But I also felt like the setup, like when Trevor Noah was doing his monologue and he was like walking amongst these little tiny tables and celebrities like had to like twist themselves. And I was like, you guys know how to twist like that?
It's
like,
so uncomfortable.
It was so human.
Yeah.
But it made me feel weird. Yeah. Even though I think celebrities should be like treated like people because they are like, the big, like Adele is twisting and turning and at a bad angle while, while we look at Trevor Noah. Oh, and Lizzo's next to her. Like, it was just weird.
Yeah, no, it definitely was weird.
And then, and like, Luke Combs is in the background, like, not knowing he's on television. Like, I can't stop staring at him.
So I will say, I don't know if this was done intentionally, but, like, they definitely, everyone was pretty vulnerable, you know? Everyone was pretty vulnerable in terms of angles, but then in also terms of, like, they shot really wide and, like, Trevor Noah was standing. You might have thought if you're a couple seats over, you're not on camera, but, like, you were. And we saw your face, you know, and they kept cutting to like, they were being shady with the cuts. You know, if Harry was on stage, they would show Taylor. Like, they were being, they were giving the people what they needed, you know, getting Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck like on camera twice fighting. Like, they didn't know they were on
camera. I didn't get that vibe from them. I thought, no, everyone's like, he's miserable. He doesn't want to be there with her. No, like, they were cute.
Okay. No, I mean,
I found them to be cute.
I found them to be relatable.
I didn't see them fighting. I saw, like, there was one time, not during a song or anything, like, right before a commercial break, they panned them. Jen was, like, on her phone, but not in, like, a...
That's fine.
Not in a too-focused sort of way. And, like, Ben was just, like, chilling. I was like, that's a real couple.
By the end, I saw a lot of people on their phones. It was a really fucking... I mean, it was supposed to end at 11, and I don't think I turned my TV off till, like, 11:45. So it was really long. A lot of people were on their phones.
Yeah, you didn't turn your TV off till midnight.
You can only feign enthusiasm for, like, other people's accomplishments for so many hours.
Yeah.
Or at least I can.
Yeah. So I thought it was interesting. Let's get into our Grammys recap and the Fast Five stories that you need to know.
And the Fast Five stories that you need to know are brought to you by Manscaped. Roses are red, violets are blue. Our friends at Manscaped have a gift for you. Ladies, Manscaped are now selling beard products. That's right. The leader in grooming are revolutionizing the men's hygiene game once again with the new Beard Hedger Pro Kit. It all starts with the Beard Hedger, which is their cordless trimmer that has a rotary wheel with 20 hair cutting lengths and one guard. So there's no messy drawers full of extra little clip-on things, which are so effing annoying. If you hear that, there's no more messy drawers, and he can sculpt his look however your heart desires to fully unlock his bearded confidence this Valentine's Day. Even better, save 20% off and free shipping by going to manscaped.com and using code TOAST. So the Beard Hedger Pro Kit is the ultimate Valentine's Day gift to give his Cupid an arrow from Manscaped. So it all starts with the Beard Hedger, which is the electric beard hair trimmer. Along with only having one guard, it's also waterproof, so we can shave in the shower to avoid those little pubes around your sink, which is really one of the most annoying things about having to be married to a man. They also have the dermatologist-tested formulations like beard shampoo and conditioner, because beards are low-key, like, really disgusting, like food gets caught in there. So beard hair and shampoo is designed for more coarse hair that's typically found on beards. The kit has made shampoo and conditioner specifically designed to moisturize, reduce ingrown hairs, replace natural oils, and promote general beard health. Also, the kit comes with a beard oil and a beard balm that will help shape, style, moisturize, and tame for a sculpted look. Also comes with three gifts, that Beard Hedger Pro Kit: a beard brush, comb, and scissors to ensure he has all the tools for a perfect beard. Get 20% off and free shipping with code TOAST at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use code TOAST. Spice up Valentine's Day this year with Manscaped. Today's episode is also brought to you by Squarespace. So excited that Squarespace is sponsoring our podcast today. So if you work in e-commerce, you have a business that relies on e-commerce, you have a side hustle, whatever that is, really recommend looking into Squarespace to design your e-commerce website. If you're not, you know, a very skilled and experienced website software engineer, it can be really hard and not know where to start when you want to create a website. And over the years, for my blogs and stuff, I've used many different platforms, and I don't really know how to, like, back end build a website. I'm not an engineer, and Squarespace is fabulous because from start to finish, they've got it all. So they are the place to sell anything, Squarespace. They have the tools that you need to get your business off the ground, including e-commerce templates, inventory management, a simple checkout process, secure payments. Whatever you sell, Squarespace has merchandising features to make your products look their best online. You can also connect with your audience and generate revenue through gated members-only content. You can manage your members, send email communications, leverage audience insights. It's all on their easy-to-use platform. So check out squarespace.com/toast for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use our offer code TOAST to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. Again, that's squarespace.com/toast for the free trial. Once you're ready to launch, use offer code TOAST to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. You can really do everything with Squarespace email campaigns. You can collect donations. You can share your social media. You can get analytics. They have different tools for blogging. It's really kind of everything you need to get your business off the ground. Or if you're looking to like revamp your website, check out squarespace.com/toast. You won't regret it.
You will not.
Regurdia says you won't regurd it. I don't know.
You'll work on it.
I tried.
For next time.
I tried.
First story, Grammys 2023 recap.
So we'll go through all the winners. I did want to say Trevor Noah was abysmal. I know it's a job like that nobody wants and no one really does a good job, but like his jokes were so like cliche and obvious, corny. Almost corny. Like, hey, Harry, like, I love you in women's clothing. Can I come on tour with you? Like, yikes. He did, though. And I know I sound crazy, but he made a joke about anti-heroes.
Yeah.
And like we made that up, did we not? Like, not to make everything about us.
Okay. We came to the joke on our own. Like, that was our joke. And I do believe he came to the joke on his own. Like, it's not the most original joke. We say that all the time when people are like, you copied me. It's like, well, we both have brains and it's a pretty clear connection.
Yeah, that's fair.
We're able to come to it on our own.
Okay, that's fair.
So I didn't feel like he took that from us. But and I was glad that the aunties, like, I'm never going to complain when the aunties are getting props.
Representation.
You know?
No, I agree.
And that, like, Taylor, that joke reached Taylor. Yeah. Now she knows.
And she thought it was funny.
She's really just polite.
Everyone was being polite.
She's very well-mannered, that Taylor Swift.
Yeah, everyone was being polite because, like, his jokes were really bad. Like, they were really kind of elementary, like, intro to comedy jokes. They were just so obvious.
No, like, I was watching him, and I was, like, watching with an open mind. You know, it's my Sunday night. I had, like, a Haagen-Dazs ice cream mini bar. And I was like,
Harry was asleep.
I was in, Streis was there. We had heating pad. Like, I was ready to enjoy my life. I really went in, like, looking to have, not to complain. Like, I didn't have my phone. I didn't have my Kindle out. My takeaway was that, like, he's a big loser.
Yeah.
And he was just being a loser.
Yeah. And again, it's really not a job that you can ever come out on top of. So I don't know why anyone would do it.
No, but you can. Like, especially, there are people who do it and it's like, we don't hate, like, some people do amazing, few. Some people, like, do well enough, you know?
You just have to make yourself scarce. Like, I just feel
sparse.
Like
he,
whatever, spares.
Scarce.
Scarce.
You said scars.
Scarce. like you just do the least and, like, bother people the least and don't take up that much time and, like, don't do anything so, like, outrageous. You're supposed to blend in as the host.
Yeah.
And he just was not. It was really not good. So I hate to be, like, a negative, but he was bad.
Yeah.
Now let's go through the winners.
The winners. Like, I'm going to go top in ones. Order of how we watched it.
Okay.
Best pop vocal album, Harry Styles.
Agreed.
Harry's House. Agreed. Best R&B song, Beyonce, Cuff It. And she was not there to accept because she was stuck in traffic, which was, like, really shocking that they admitted that she was coming and that she was late and, like, she wanted to, like, she meant to be there, but she, like, wasn't there yet.
Queen. I have a lot of thoughts on Beyonce. I feel, first of all, did anyone else feel like, so everyone was talking about Beyonce, like, on the red carpet. They're like, are you excited to see Beyonce? It was literally a question. Who are you wearing? Are you excited to see Beyonce? And it felt very much like Beyonce Sweet 16. Like, it was Beyonce's night. And it was because she was hopefully going to reach this, like, historic achievement. But, like, the monologue was all about Beyonce. And it did feel a little weird just because, like, this was a room of other successful people, like, supposed to be celebrating their own accomplishments. But it was like, and I felt like every time they spoke about Beyonce once she arrived and they, like, cut to her, like, she was getting fucking annoyed. Like, it's like, it's kind of awkward. She's just, these are her peers, technically, even though, like, they're not. They're her peers. And so to make it, like, the whole night was about Beyonce, I felt like she was, like, embarrassed. Like, people were just, like, acting crazy about Beyonce. She's like, stop. Like, I'm just here like everyone else. Even when Harry collected his award for Album of the Year, like, somebody screamed in the dead silent, like, it should have been Beyonce. And, like, it was awkward, apparently, in the stadium. And it's like, I just felt like everyone was, like, acting out on behalf of Beyonce. And Beyonce was like, can you guys all calm down? Like, it was, like, kind of, like, I felt like she wasn't into it at all. You know, it was like, it was awkward.
Yeah, that is awkward. And I think it would be awkward to be on the receiving end of that.
Yeah, not even her, like, being shy, just, like, being, like, trying to act appropriate.
Yeah, just, like, just, and wanting to just, like, be a real person. It's also, it's not like she's in a room full of, like,
Nobody's.
Like Adele is there. Taylor Swift. Like, and
all those hip hop legends. Like,
yeah,
it was weird.
Everyone really showed up. And I could imagine that would feel a little weird. And it's like, plus she's already getting, like, she's making history. Like, we're honoring her.
Yeah.
You know, everyone also doesn't need to be like acting like a 2-year-old.
No, and I feel like that's like Beyonce's life, like showing up places and people like act like fools around her. She always has to like make up for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, of course, the example like of Kanye, and then when Taylor, you know, then when Beyonce won an award later on, she like gave her speech to Taylor. She's like always like correcting other people's behavior on behalf of her.
Yeah.
So I just felt like she was like kind of like embarrassed. And I would be too. It's like, can I just blend in for a second? Like, yeah. I get it. I don't know. It just felt like the whole night it was like the name on everybody's lips is Beyonce, as it should be.
Did she perform?
No.
But she should have.
Totally.
Right? Because all the performers were like people who were nominated for Album of the Year.
Album, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's like how it went.
Yeah.
But she didn't perform.
No, not everyone. Not everyone.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess like Unholy and their satanic did not go over well.
Luke Combs was not.
He was not nominated for Album of the Year?
No.
Huh. And I thought
We'll get to it.
Next, Best Country Album winner. Let me tell you the nominees first.
Yes.
Ashley McBride.
Queen.
Luke Combs.
Obsessed.
Maren Morris.
Love.
Miranda Lambert.
Would take a bullet.
Willie Nelson.
So
all of the nominees were in the room except for Willie.
Let me say something, because this is absolutely.
And the winner was Willie Nelson.
This is no disrespect to Willie Nelson. And I think country music in general, you know, as most genres try to do, like they really pay so much respect and homage to those who came.
To
the legends and to those who came before them. And I'm sure Willie Nelson's album is good. This is not, you know, taking anything away. But like,
I don't think you could take away from Willie Nelson.
BFFR. Be fucking for real. Like, come on. You're kidding me, right? Like, I don't know. First of all, to give it to someone, it shouldn't count like whether you show up or not. But you know, this is an entertainment show and there were people there.
For the same reason they spread out all the awards so everyone would make like a viral speech.
Yeah. I mean, I was so rooting for Luke Combs, but like, honestly, I would have understood.
When the category was announced, I was like, shit, like Luke has some steep competition. Like anyone could win except for Willie. Like, he's nominated like out of respect, but I was like, it could be Ashley McBride. It could be Miranda Lambert. It could be Maren Morris. I was like, good luck, Luke.
No, honestly, and Miranda Lambert, her album is incredible. Like she, so, and if anyone else would have won, I would have been like, you know what? I'm sad.
I would have been like, okay.
But I respect it.
Yeah, like Luke didn't win. I loved it, but like it wasn't Luke's time. For it to be Willie Nelson, I would just love to know like what those artists like think of this.
I know.
Also, I feel like the Grammys, like it just felt like they didn't even
listen
to any of the albums. It's like they looked at the list and it's like, oh, we know Willie Nelson and he's really talented. And I feel like now thinking back, like they do that also with Chris Stapleton. He wins everything. And the thing is, he's so worthy, so you don't question it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, what about the other people who actually deserve to win? But like, I don't think, like, this was the only country music category. Luke was the only country music performer. And mm-hmm. like, I don't think they even listened, honestly.
No, I could see that. I could see that definitely being the reality. It was really upsetting, honestly, because it just feels like every now and then they'll just like throw a curveball to like be different, which we'll get to for Song of the Year. And it was like at the expense of my artists, you know?
Yeah.
Taylor lost because Bonnie won and Luke lost because Willie won. And not to make everything about me, but it felt like a personal attack.
It felt like so disrespectful, honestly.
And like Luke was there.
They didn't even care.
And Luke performed. So like Luke is, and just the sheer fact that like Luke Combs doesn't have a Grammy. He's now lost 6 times.
Wow.
It's so flawed.
Yes, but I take solace in really believing that Luke doesn't care about the Grammys, that Luke has everything, like, you know, he's so grateful.
Happy.
And I think he goes to the Grammys because it's cool and it's a sign of respect and like
it's
he's
a
up
night
there.
Out with his wife.
Right, and like he gets to, it's a great concert, but I think it does not chip away from him whatsoever to not have a Grammy.
No, for sure, but like you go, you want to win.
Yeah.
I think for 15 minutes, it's a bummer.
Yeah.
We're all human, even Luke Combs. It's shocking, but it's true.
Mm-hmm.
His performance was beautiful. I actually, maybe it was because I like put him later in the show. Like, please disrespect him more.
Some of us have a bedtime.
I waited so long
for
it.
Some of us bootleggers want to go to sleep.
I don't know if it's because I waited so long for the performance and then like I just felt so defeated after it because it wasn't even a worthy loss. Like if he had lost to Miranda Lambert or Brandi Carlisle, like I would have been
Ashley McBride.
I would have been like, okay.
Brandi wasn't nominated.
So she should have been. I would have been like, okay, you know what? Was meant to be. But because it felt like he really was robbed, really everyone was robbed, it felt like his performance was even more emotional for me. Like, I literally, and that song is so...
That's one of your favorites on the album.
It's so spectacular. I actually found myself, like, getting choked up. Like, I just love the, I love this man.
Yeah.
I love this man.
And the Grammys, like, didn't care about him.
They acknowledged him because they had to, not because they wanted to. And I feel like that's... the Recording Academy in a nutshell, like there are people who they can't ignore and they just like have to give them like a nomination or a performance. And then there are people who they just like literally industry plant, like lift up and like, you're like, who the fuck is this person?
Yeah.
And, but then it also begs the question. It's like, what does a Grammy mean? Is it, you know, artist subjective? So is it who they think is the best song? Because then you really can't argue with who they chose, but does it include, you know, success? Does it include popularity? What, and it would be helpful if they told us what the criteria
is. I'm sure they do somewhere.
Yeah.
Best pop duo or group performance, Sam Smith and Kim Petras, Unholy.
That was so clearly going to win. That song has taken over. And like, I like pride myself on the fact, like I've been a Kim Petras fan, like before it was cool. The way I fucking hate that song. Like it.
Really?
Oh my God. I hate it. Maybe, I don't know why. I hate that song.
Oh my God, so, I like it, but I never listen to it is why probably I like it. So when I hear it come on, I'm like, hey, this is a nice beat. But then after they won, I put it on because I was like, now I'm craving it.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to parts that like, you know, I don't hear on TikTok or Reels. And I was like, oh,
it's a song.
Turn it off.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about the song that like made it go so viral, but I'm happy for Kim Petras. I really don't like that song.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Shocker.
And I don't really like that dance that goes along with it. That like, it's all
over. What's the dance?
It was, he did it on stage. They did it on stage, Sam Smith. And then it's like all over TikTok. It's like the coordinating dance. And he's like taking little steps. And he's like, oh, sorry. They, I'm sorry. Mommy, don't, do you know, like.
It's sort of.
And he takes like little steps.
He did a TikTok dance on the Grammy stage. And and it wasn't like, you know, say so.
Yeah.
It wasn't a song that like, and a dance that took over the world.
Yeah, I hate that song.
Okay, you're allowed.
Yes, I am.
Best Musica Urbana album, Bad Bunny.
Clearly.
Winner.
I think a lot of people also thought it would be a Bad Bunny sweep. Yeah. It was not.
No, but he opened the show.
Yes.
And he won for his album.
And he's extremely good looking. Like I'm sure everyone knows that, but like, I don't really listen to a lot of Latin music, so I don't like see his face a lot. And I was enjoying what I was seeing for sure. I said, you know, that's a nice face.
Yeah. People are saying he looks like Brody Jenner. That's what Bitch Be With You said. And I saw it.
That's also what Morgan Stewart said.
Oh, that's so funny.
Actually, that's a great call.
Best rap album, Kendrick Lamar.
I think I guessed that one.
I also liked his speech where he was talking about like the little tables and the wine.
Yeah.
He was like shading nice. It. He's like, it's nice, but it wasn't nice.
No. Yeah. It was
he didn't want to be at a little table.
It was like informal.
It was so weird.
Yeah.
Tables were so little.
No, and then the table but I was also seating charts was interesting.
Who was sitting with who. Like, I
the
loved
Adele Lizzo table was everything.
The Combses and Miranda Lambert.
Obsessed. And they probably had a really good time.
Yeah.
Taylor got her own table because she had, like, Jack Antonoff, Tree.
And Aaron.
Aaron Dessner. Obsessed.
Tree.
Tree?
You don't like Taylor Nation queen.
Her publicist who, like, literally, like, revitalized Taylor like 7 years ago.
I didn't
ago.
See Jack there and he didn't want to bring his fiance.
He won, maybe there wasn't seat at the table.
Because the table was too small.
They were tiny. He won producer of the year. So he was like out and about, you know, like doing press and stuff, coming and sitting. Coldplay sat with someone so random. I just remember thinking, not Coldplay, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking like, that's weird. Wonder what they're talking about.
Yeah.
It was fun to see who was sitting with who. If I could be seated at any table, it would be with Adele and Lizzo for sure.
Oh, it would be the Combses and Miranda.
Oh, shit. Yeah, wait. You're right.
Best dance electronic music album, Beyonce, Renaissance, and she was there to accept it, and that made her the most awarded Grammy person artist of all time.
James Corden was the one who gave it to her.
James Corden.
Made a funny joke.
Cracked me up.
No, it was...
I was cackling in my bed.
It, Same.
And you know I'm like so hard to laugh in these situations.
He said, I'm here to announce the winner of the electronic.
Best dance electronic album.
Because of course I would be. I'm the perfect.
I'm the name on everyone's list. Yeah, in this category.
It was honestly funny because it's like, yeah, first of all, if this is the one that like Beyonce was going to make history for, like why James Corden? Why wouldn't it be like someone connected a little bit to Beyonce? Yeah. To like James Corden, everyone's like, ugh. But then the way Trevor Noah was bothering me so much, I'm like, you know what? I don't think I would mind if James Corden was doing this job.
I kind of miss James Corden.
But maybe it's kind of like you hate the one you're with kind of vibe.
Yeah. Yeah. Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
So there was actually some drama around this category. The first was that they cut to, you know, some of the losers, one of them being Diplo. And Diplo, people believe they're reading his lips saying they bought that.
I thought he looked happy for them.
I actually believe that, like, the read lip like looked like on point, like they bought that.
Huh. I don't believe it.
That they bought it or that he said it?
That he said that. That's what he said.
I don't think you can buy Grammys, which is why it's like still something that's so sought after.
That there's a way that you could. Like there's definitely, you know, back channeling, but I don't think that like, I don't think that's what happened here. Like she was up for album of the year. Like it was the best dance, like period. Yeah. And he looked happy to me. I'm not falling for it.
No.
You know?
Yeah,
I'm
the drama.
I'm not falling for it.
The other kind of like drama controversy was like a lot of people were mad like that this was considered a dance.
That I could understand. I was just reading the other people who won. I'm like, oh, they're really like
Rufus DeSoul.
Electronic. And so I could understand that gripe.
I can too because people don't see Beyonce as a electronic dance artist. But if you listen to the songs, it is electronic. Like
it's also pop.
No, you don't see. Yeah.
It's pop.
I guess.
But this is a cool way of, you know,
getting more Grammys.
Being the best in the category.
Yeah. I thought
it's like how the Redheads is in arts.
Right.
In the podcast store.
And like, to be honest, get higher. Of all the albums on there, it was the only one I really hadn't heard of. So
yeah, no, it makes sense why she won the category, but now I'm questioning why she was in the category.
Right, right. Right.
Maybe they bought her way into that category. I don't think so.
That's what he was saying.
But I also don't think he said that. Because I'm not falling for it.
Okay, don't fall for it. I'm not forcing you to fall.
No, you're not. You're not.
I'm just letting you know like what's going on social media.
I know, but I'm just saying like we're always wrong. No, not me. You. Social media is always wrong and they always jump to the worst conclusions about people. And Diplo was a nice man.
That's fair.
And I don't think he thought he was going to beat Beyonce.
Okay.
Song of the year. Oh, okay. No, sorry. Best pop solo performance, Adele, Easy on Me. She made a sweet speech. Mm-hmm. There were tears. And you know what? I can, even though her album like wasn't 25. Mm-hmm. Her performance mm-hmm. on Easy on Me is a wonderful pop solo performance.
And you know what? When it came out, there was a seismic shift in the universe. Like people were not okay.
Yeah.
The song is so gorgeous.
And then there was the Easy on Me challenge.
Right. So it was good.
That I didn't have questions about that.
Me neither.
Then Luke performed. Then I turned off the show.
It was so
then
beautiful.
The sister's chat was blowing up and everyone was like, someone was like, what? And I didn't know what happened because no one said what happened. Oh. Guys were just like reacting to it.
Oh.
Song of the year, Bonnie Raitt, Just Like That.
So some of the other notable nominees in this category were
Adele, Easy on Me, Beyonce, Break My Soul, Harry Styles, As It Was, Lizzo, About Damn Time, Taylor Swift, All Too Well, 10 Minute Version.
Any single one of those people could have won and it would be right.
Yeah.
It would be justified. I, of course, was rooting for Taylor Swift All Too Well. But if anyone else had won, I would have been like, you know what? It was the song of the year. Like, yeah. I would have been able to understand it. Now, this I don't understand. I don't understand at all. And so before I dive in, I just want to say this is not a, you know, takedown of the song or Bonnie or her career. The song is really beautiful. There's like a gorgeous backstory to it. You know, her son passed away and was an organ donor and gave his heart to someone. And she ended up being able to meet the guy who got her son's heart.
Oh, wow.
And he was like, do you want to lay your head on my chest and like feel your son's heartbeat? Like it's, and she was like, in that moment, I'm going to write a song about this. Like, so there's a beautiful backstory behind it. It's a gorgeous song, but in no universe was it the song of the year. And this is a category that's not best song. It's the song of the year, meaning
and it's not best performance, right? Like pop solo performance.
So this category is like, what was the song of the year? Like when we look back on this year, when we see the song of the year, we'll be like, oh yeah, I was listening to Harry's House while I was, you know, getting out of quarantine. You know what I mean? Like, so it's not a subjective category. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, who did they think was the best? If it was, maybe we'd be able to rationalize it a little bit more. The silence Mostly because the first lady was the one who gave it out, and she said just like that. She didn't say the person's name. So we didn't know if she was done talking or not, and there was like a beat of silence. And just like that, it was over for everyone else.
Confusing.
It was confusing. She just said, she literally opened the envelope, just like that. Bonnie Raitt. Like,
right.
It was done weird. And so I think there was a silence because of that, but also because everyone's like, the fuck, you know?
Yeah, no, but if she had said Bonnie Raitt, then it would have been like, okay, Bonnie Raitt won. But just like that is also just like a phrase. Like, did she just say a phrase?
Yeah, no, it was confusing for sure.
Oh my God.
And it was very awkward. And you know, Bonnie's a queen. Like, she's a PJ. She had literally never in a million years thought she was going to win. Like,
yeah,
because she shouldn't have. Because she shouldn't have, you know?
What was her speech?
She couldn't talk. She was like, honestly, like, I love to write songs and like, thanks. Like, it was sweet, but like, be FFR. Be fucking for real. Mm-hmm. Come on. Mm-hmm. Like, I really wanted All Too Well to win. I don't know if it was necessarily the song of the year, but it was just such a feat. You know, it was such a, it's so different. It's really not like anything else on that list. It's a 10-minute song. It is a deeply well-written and profound song. So that's why I was rooting for it. But honestly, As It was the song of the year, you know?
Yeah.
So was, which Lizzo song was?
About Damn Time.
Also, To Be Loved is like also one of the songs.
As a person a little zoomed out, it's About Damn Time.
About Damn Time literally was the song of the year. Like, I can make the argument for anyone. And so we all just sat there just kind of like flabbergasted. Even
the Bad Habit. Is that the one? Bad Habit.
No, that's Ed Sheeran. And that is confusing. No. I bite my nails. It's a bad habit. It's very TikTok-y.
Okay, then I take back what I said.
Why?
That, like, it should have been up there.
No, it shouldn't have been up there. No, but what I like that song a lot.
A, B, C, D, E, F, U.
I'm glad it wasn't.
I think that's what it should have been. That would have made more sense.
The vitriol I feel for that song. The hatred.
You hate this genre that I love of, mm-hmm. like, pop rock, like, girl.
TikTok.
But it's like, it's I'm TikTok. Not on TikTok. And it's like Tate McRae.
I love Tate McRae.
You do?
Love.
Okay. Leah, Kate, 10 Things I Hate About You.
Hate that song.
Mimi Webb. Like,
love.
So what's the reason?
I saw you out. It was. I don't find Tate McRae and Mimi Webb to be in the same category as A, B, C, D, E, F, U.
Okay.
Like, to me, that's like kitschy, silly, dumb songwriting.
Okay. Fine. That's fine. As long as like we could be listening to Tate McRae still. And
yeah, of course. Maybe. So I really don't even know what to say about this song of the year because I don't want to be rude. She's a nice lady.
Yeah.
Like, the fuck?
No. Get real.
Jackie, it was so awkward.
Like, I'm so pissed I missed it. I watched the whole show and that was the most interesting part.
And let me tell you why it was even weirder. Jill Biden gave away two awards. This was the second one, okay? The first one was a new category they're introducing, Song for Social Impact.
You know, I think we had a story that they were introducing a category, Song for Social Impact, which took us to Send It On and On.
It's not too late to, you know, posthumously give that.
They could do a re-record.
Re-apart, reach a heart. Just one spark starts a fire. With one election, a chain reaction will never stop. Okay. Let me tell you why else it was so weird. Do you want to finish? You look like it's busting out of you.
Make a song, sign a light and send it on.
Send it on. Okay. So let me tell you why it was weird.
Tell me why it was weird.
Because this was the second award she did for Song of the Year, but then before that she did Song for Social Impact. And she explained that it was being given to, you know, a person who made a viral video on TikTok. I'm so sorry. I do not know his name. Who wrote this like beautiful original song at the peak of the Iranian protests, like for women's rights. And it, you know, kind of became the anthem online of this movement, yada, yada. And, you know, instead of, you know, presenting him the award, she said, well, he's in jail now for Song of the Year. And it was so weird because honestly, like it really highlighted this element of like out of touchedness for the Grammys in general. And then there was like this commercial they had afterwards for the Recording Academy that was like, these are like our, they had all these headlines. They were like fake headlines. And it was like, protesters and police put down their weapons and listened to music together. It was giving like Pepsi commercial energy. It was like, you know, lawmakers, you know, enact laws after hearing song about women's rights. Like it was, and then the Recording Academy CEO comes on. He's like, these aren't real headlines, but they should be. It was so cringe and out of touch. And then right after, like, It's like, so this guy's fighting for his life in Iranian prison.
Like, that's fucking real.
Right, he's fighting for his life in Iranian prison, like, fighting for, like, things, like, rights, like, fighting
basic
against
human
things
rights
that we could never even imagine. And we're over here giving him a Grammy, being like, oh, well, he's in prison.
But he has a Grammy, Claude.
Right, no, it was so...
But he has a Grammy.
It was so beyond out of touch, like... I think maybe perhaps a great way to end it, if we had to give, you know, the guy in prison an award, would be like, and here's how we can help get him out. Like,
yeah.
You're literally sleeping next to the president. Do something. Like, it was so, but like, I can't do anything, but I'll give him this award. It was so, I'm like, when she said, but he's been arrested, I was like, what? I'm like, are we going to go get him? Like, I can't do anything, but like, you literally can. I was like, this is beyond. It was so, and so that's then just to transition crazy. That like awkwardness into record song of the year, there was weirdness, you know?
Yeah. And then for song of the year to go the way that it did.
It was just, honestly, it was kind of like a bad showing for Jill Biden. Like it was just, it wasn't her night. It really wasn't.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn. It sounds like everything got interesting when I turned off the show.
100%. That commercial, somebody tweeted, it was so true. It felt like, you know, when SNL does those like pre-recorded fake commercials.
Yeah.
It was one of those. It was so moronic.
That's so funny. Also, need to talk about a few of the performances and the new idea of bringing lay people to a round table to advocate.
I'm so glad you brought that up.
To advocate for their favorite artists and why their favorite artist should win album of the year.
Because when that, you know, when the show was already going over 45 minutes, I'm like, well, the first people to go with the fans, you know, like cut them. Yeah. They didn't. And it was like, three packages throughout the night because there were so many albums and so many fans. And the way I was not okay. I was like, this is fucking moronic until the end.
Okay, so Harry won. Did he get to meet the great Gran?
So they, when the,
look at me, I'm talking shit, I'm invested.
No, okay, I'm only invested in the Gran.
No, I was invested in the Gran and I was saying like, she has to meet him. He's right there, Jackie, and she's obsessed.
We all had the same experience. Like okay. We all only cared about the Gran. So.
No. Star, great grand. She was a great grand.
So when they were doing album of the year, Trevor Noah was the one to present it. And while they were doing the nominees, he was like, honestly, fans, come up here. Like, you deserve to be up here while we announce it.
Jesus.
So they
That's
all-
That's insane, by the way.
Wait, no, but look, they all came up and stood behind him in a line. And he said, and the Grammy goes to, and he opened it up. And then he went over to the fan. And he was like, you say it. And she was like, bereft. Harry Styles. And then they cut to Harry. And you know what? It was so dumb, like the whole time leading up to it. But until that moment, I was like, you know what? This is actually mad cute. Like, we got a good moment at the end of it. And then Harry got on stage and gave her the biggest hug, kissed her on the cheek, like spoke to her for a few seconds before he made his speech. So it came full circle. But the journey to get there was not okay.
But also only because it was the great Gran and Harry. Like, I feel like if it was just like one of the other super fans and a different artist, I'd be like, can you go to a meet and greet? Like,
yeah, no, like, get out of here. No, totally.
So that was something. I also felt like Harry Styles' performance was not very good. And I thought everyone would be living for it. And I was just being critical. But like in the first like break of da-na-na-na-na and he's like on the microphone, he like rocks out so hard. I'm like, it doesn't call for that yet. Like I felt like the energy was being put on.
His energy was, I couldn't find it. It was non-existent. This man is not okay.
No, and like all the walking, I'm sure it's symbolizing something. Maybe, you know, how life can just
hamster
like,
wheel.
Hamster wheel, but then it comes back. You meet someone, you set them free. If they return,
his
they
vocals,
were yours.
His vocals were not great. His energy was really lackluster.
His energy was fake to me. He was doing, and then it made me feel like all those other times in like TikTok videos where he's like on a concert, like, I'm like, has that all been fake?
No, because that's the thing. Like, I've seen so much footage of Harry on tour and he really, like, he gives it, like, he is such a performer. And I've never once felt like he was tired while he was up there because, like, we joke, like, he needs a nap. But, you know, every time he gets on stage, like, he does the damn thing and he has, like, so much energy and he doesn't stop dancing and singing and his vocals are always on point. Like, he doesn't miss a note. So to watch this performance where it felt like he had literally no energy and every time he moved, he was, like, literally using his last three brain cells.
Yeah, but he was also, like, faking the energy, like that classic Harry style stuff, which I didn't know.
But it
know
feels authentic when he does it on stage.
I didn't know he was capable of faking it. And so that kind of just like, it kind of.
Like ruined the magic.
Ruined the magic, yeah.
But I think, like, that was the first time I'd ever really felt that way. And I think, it looked visibly different than like his concert footage. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just feel like he was like not in a good mood and he was like tired. And I feel like he's not okay. I mean, he did a show at the Forum on Monday.
How was his speech?
Very low energy as well. He was just like really shook and he was like thank you so much. He's thanked the appropriate people. He was like, you know, I just can't believe this. Things like this don't happen to people like me. And like, he's getting dragged for that. It's like, things like this don't happen to people like you. Like, perfect looking, gorgeous, like looking talented rock star. Like,
okay. Voice of an angel.
No, it's like, okay. Okay. I know what he's saying.
Like, he was working in a bakery in Cheshire. Right,
no, he's not like a nepo baby. Like, he had literally no connection. He went auditioned for X Factor, a talent like, show.
He started from at the bottom.
No, and I totally get it, but it's like.
So, you know what? It just doesn't happen to people like him. No. Like, I don't see Kelly Clarkson winning album of the year.
No, it's so true. But, like, just hearing someone who looks like him say that, it's like, you were, like, literally born perfect.
No, I know, but, like.
I get it.
You don't know his struggle.
No, of course not. Of course not.
And you only saw the time highlights. In the spotlight.
Yeah.
But totally. You didn't see the time in the dark.
No. But it wasn't, like, an overly, like, emotional or energetic speech.
Got it. And then other performances, the hip-hop tribute.
It was really incredible.
Which was so awesome. And it was so cool to see everyone like having a good time.
Up out of their seats.
Out of their seat, on their feet, singing along. Like
Doja Cat, Lizzo, Jay-Z.
Yeah. It was SZA.
Okay, like I might like sound really dumb. The way I did not know Queen Latifah like was like a rapper or a singer, I was shook to my...
The only thing that they needed was... a thing at the bottom, like saying who was coming on next. Yeah. Because
it was very fast.
It was very fast. And but some people like I knew, but also Zach, I was watching with Zach. So some people that I didn't know, he just like was telling me who they were. But I was like, the Grammy should be telling me.
Yeah.
Because also there was a different performance, the one with Happy Chanukah, Smokey Robinson. And they had a thing at the bottom of who it was.
Happy Chanukah. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Smokey Robinson could be the most accomplished man on earth, and to me, he will always be Happy Chanukah.
The man who didn't know what Hanukkah was.
Who did a cameo wishing someone a happy Hanukkah, and he said, Happy Chanukah.
And he said, what's that? Chanukah?
It's the best video ever. It's
honestly precious. Like, I would find it offensive if it wasn't so fucking cute.
I'm obsessed.
So, I did not know Queen Latifah was a performer, and, like, I was not okay, because for me, like, when I was young and, like, was introduced to Queen Latifah, she was in her, like, rom-com era, like, Beauty Shop, Just Right, that... dumb Steve Martin movie.
Last Holiday.
Like, that's my familiarity with her. And so I did not know. She was amazing. She, like, looked, I, like, know her as, like, more, like, maternal. Like, yeah. She wears, like just, like, sweet, like, kind of, like, old lady dresses. But seeing her out there, like, with her cargo pants, like, I was obsessed. Like, I was living for it. I was not okay. Then, and I knew this person was a rapper, but I know him as a detective in the NYPD, Ice-T. I don't think I've ever actually seen him perform. Lived for it. For me, that was the part that I love the most about the hip, like people coming out of the woodwork who we know for certain things.
Yeah.
But have a history, you know, of a legacy in the rap industry. I didn't know.
It was really great. And I all around everyone was loving life.
Yeah, having a good time.
Having a good time, which you love to see.
The In Memoriam was so beautiful.
So long.
It was really long. But Kacey Musgraves.
Did they just break it out differently or were there more people?
No, they broke it out differently. They did three songs. I feel like they usually have one person sing a really long song for the whole In Memoriam. But this time they had three different performances with three different slideshows. It was long.
But was that because there was more people?
No. Like they were being slow.
Everyone still gets the same amount of seconds.
But there was a decent amount of people who needed to be honored. You know?
And a lot of people need to be honored in a big way, like Loretta Lynn and like Takeoff. Right. Like people who were like, you know, more front facing.
The Fleetwood Mac person.
Front facing than, you know, some people who are more on the back end of the music industry.
But Kacey Musgraves' performance of Coal Miner's Daughter by Loretta Lynn was, first of all, like one of the most beautiful things I'd ever heard in my life. And we'd love to see a queen out here respecting the coal miners.
No, now that I'm kind of like in Appalachia, you know, an honorary Appalachian, that song really touched me.
It's a touching song.
Like, I was like, so joyed to hear it.
And her voice sounded like it was, she didn't miss one note, one nothing. It was perfection.
Yeah, that was great.
Sheryl Crow kind of stunk it up, not to be a bitch, but.
I wasn't watching for her. I don't know. I think that's when, I don't know. Rice had to go out. Okay, let's continue. Record of the year, Lizzo, About Damn Time.
Deserved,
and she needed to get her one award.
Yeah.
Best New Artist, Samara Joy.
Okay, so obviously I had never heard of this person.
But the whole category I really don't know, except for
Lotto and Anita. And you know what's not Main Skin? It's like Meniskin. I'm being dead serious.
Okay, fine, because there's like a
there's
a symbol,
an accent over,
and I can say I don't know how that should be pronounced.
So I have no idea who Samara Joy is, but when she won, her music started to play, and she literally sounded like Etta James, like she's like jazz, like
oh gorgeous,
it was gorgeous. But I often and find...
Like, Måneskin is the only one that I've heard of, but I'm not saying they should have won just because I've heard of them.
No, me neither.
And they came from Eurovision.
I actually really thought Lotto should have won. Like, she, like, I feel like people don't realize she's literally on, like, every song they like, you know?
I don't realize. Okay. That's correct.
New artists, like, always confuses me. Like, and they almost, like... They don't get it right usually in terms of like who's going to have the most long-term success. Mm-hmm. Like if you've looked back on people who have like Celine Dion, like lost best new artist. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're kind of like always off. It's like always kind of a flop.
Yeah. And then album of the year, Harry Styles, Harry's House.
That makes the most sense.
It was the album of the year.
It really was.
Theo. Theo's here with his auntie.
Hi, Theo.
Hi, doo-da-doo. Where you been?
Doo-da-doo-da-doo-da-doo.
What did Theo think of the Grammys?
Loved. Well, he just loved that, like, the whole family was watching together. Like, oh, my God,
Bruno,
both dogs.
Okay, I'm so glad everyone's witnessing this because Bruno is the most jealous.
No, they're both. Oh, they're fighting now. If someone's sitting on someone's lap, like, the other has to get up there. Look, Bruno, come here. Or Theo.
No, Bruno, like, no one can be with Bruno's mommy other than Bruno.
Theo, come here.
Yeah, Bruno, here. You come here.
They're so jealous. Like
they're bitter rivals, these two.
No, I know. Theo kind of smells. I need to give him a bath.
Okay, that'll be fun.
Bath time with my boy.
So that's the Grammys recap. We could talk a little fashion if you want to.
Sure. I loved what Kacey Musgraves wore, even though I was just like a little...
Was it Balenciaga?
That's Jackie. That's what...
That was my... Like, I couldn't even see what she was wearing because I was like, is it Balenciaga?
I tried to
and
look it up.
And how could it not be?
I tried to look it up, it's and I couldn't
Kim
find...
It's what Kim wore on SNL.
I know.
How could it not be? So what? She wore Balenciaga? That's kind of weird, too.
Jackie, I tried to look it up and I couldn't find.
Like, that's atrocious.
I know.
Because that's a statement.
I know. I thought the same thing.
So I have a problem with that.
Yeah.
And honestly, like Kim wore it a year and a half ago. I'm not impressed.
Yeah, like you're like...
Even if it's, you know, Balenciaga.
Yeah. I didn't think there were any like truly remarkable... I did not like what Taylor wore. It was giving very much like what the advanced girl wears to prom. Do you know?
Advanced.
Do you know what I mean?
No, it's like Sheena's wedding dress.
Yeah. I did not like it, but she's so radiant. She can't look bad, so like it didn't bother
me. She can't look bad. She looked really beautiful, but it wasn't anything new or exciting.
Adele is like the queen of the matronly dress. And as someone who like tends to dress like older than I should, like I get it. But like she's got to switch it up. Like it's so like grandma.
You know what else I hate? I hate people who change their outfits in the middle. Like I understand you want to change for your performance, but like pick one dress. I want people to make choices. Not, oh, I like these three, but I can't choose. So I'm going to like keep changing while, you know, there's a commercial break and nobody's even looking at me. Like,
yeah.
It was so, like Cardi B did not need to change.
I'm sorry, she was by far and away the best dressed.
Amazing on the red carpet. And I didn't like what she wore to present. And like, I wanted to see that dress again for
Agreed.
Presentation. And like, you're wearing the best dress of the night.
Yeah.
Stay in it.
The second dress was fine. It didn't bother me. But the first dress was so... Like, the way Cardi B wasn't nominated, I don't think, for a single thing, and she stole the show in that dress.
She was the best dressed.
Agreed. She looked so gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, really, the dress, like, so complimented her body in the best way. She just looked gorgeous.
I just, like, people should choose a dress and stay in it.
Yeah.
Aside from their performance, if you want to, you know, put on your cat suit.
Yeah.
But then get back in your dress.
Lizzo wore this, like, big, dumb jacket, but the dress underneath was so cute, and I almost wish she, like, literally just wore this dress. It was, like, this orange corseted bedazzled dress, and then, like, this big, dumb Big Bird thing on top.
It was a mini dress?
No, it was all the way, it was a gown.
Let me look, because I saw, like, the whole ensemble on the carpet, but I didn't see her speech, so I didn't see,
She didn't wear...
Oh, would she wear something else?
I don't know, actually. What did she wear to... She wore something else.
Oh,
she wore...
she turned into this silver thing. Yeah. Horrible.
It was a lot of dress, but the orange...
This dress is horrible.
Yeah.
The orange thing, okay, on the carpet with the big jacket.
But the thing underneath was like actually very beautiful.
I see the thing underneath.
And I think if we had seen it on its own, we would have liked it. It wasn't like an amazing night for fashion, if I'm being honest.
No. No. Beyonce, I liked her outfit.
I don't remember it. It was like gold.
Like it was like gold top.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Silver. I guess like everyone's saying silver.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying.
That's what they're saying.
I don't know if I'm listening.
No.
But you know me. I could be a follower if need be.
No, I'm going to follow Cardi B. Like,
I thought J-Lo looked amazing.
Me too. I don't think she walked the carpet because I didn't even know she was there until she just walked out as a presenter in this bedazzled look. It was like a kaftan. It was gorgeous.
And with the hair.
The hair was
sick. Really something.
That hair is going to become like a go-to celeb inspo pick, like what people bring to their dresser, hairdressers for their wedding.
Mm-hmm.
It was really gorgeous.
Really gorgeous. Oh, Kelsea Ballerini looked really good, but I didn't see her aside from in this Yahoo
article. I saw her on E! She looked radiant. Maren Morris.
We need to talk.
What?
About Shania Twain.
We do need to talk about Shania Twain. She's not okay.
No, she's not okay. And I would have thought she was even like less okay, but then she knew every word to every song.
I
know.
I thought that was funny.
I love that for her. But what was with the wig?
The wig.
And I'm glad she presented, because I feel like other celebrities would have been like, not knowing who she was on the floor and then like, okay, clown.
Yeah, no, totally. The hair was so nuts, but then on the carpet, the big dumb hat was even more dumb. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like, I'm all for, you know, being playful, especially like, I feel like when you get older, they're like, that's kind of discouraged. Like, I'm all for being playful.
But I wouldn't want to see a young person in that wig.
The hat was more for me, like, really upsetting.
It's really upsetting. Doja Cat, I don't love her red carpet look, but I remember seeing her in the program. I thought she looked amazing.
She's really kind of like she's such an it girl.
Yeah. Maren Morris.
Horrible.
Really?
Horrible.
I like it. She bleached her brows, which, you know, if I didn't have naturally bleached brows, I would think was so ugly. But because like,
what am I going to say?
Self-hate?
Yeah.
Like, I love it.
I like it too.
Camila Cabello, cute. Whatever. What was she doing there?
Not winning anything.
Or being, was she even nominated?
She was nominated once, yeah. And she had like front row seat in the middle. Like that didn't make sense to me, how like Coldplay, Chris Martin was like all the way in the back, Luke Combs, Miranda Lambert, and Camila Cabello, who I think like was nominated for one category for like duo with her song with C'est la vie, si. Yeah, that's just life, baby. With Ed Sheeran. Like she gets front, top billing, front row center. She had the best seat, better than Taylor. She had the best
seat. Maybe because they knew she'd be in her seat the whole time.
Savage.
You know, like they don't have to worry about when she goes to perform, a seat filler.
Right, or a win.
Oh, and then the last thing that made my heart warm was Dwayne Johnson, who started talking and I was like, whatever he's saying, about how he got a guitar from Willie Nelson. I was like, we don't care.
Yeah.
And we're mad at Willie Nelson. And then he said, you're welcome.
Oh, he did. He said,
he was talking about how he sings off key. I said, again, we don't care. And then he said, you're welcome. Oh my God, I was freaking.
And everyone in the audience who like has kids was not okay.
Yeah.
It was kind of a moment.
It was a moment. And I forgot that he's Maui and he sings. Like he's on one of the most fire albums of the century.
Oh yeah. I can most soon say me phenomenon. Natural phenomenon. Yeah.
What can I say except you're welcome. Bruno was finally sitting on the third chair in the studio, like, which is my solo chair. And it's like, why haven't the boys thought about this sooner?
Because they want a piece of us.
They do. They're obsessed.
Before we continue on, I would be absolutely remiss.
We absolutely have to continue on. Because imagine that, like, you didn't watch the Grammys and you don't care.
Well, could it be me?
Well, welcome back to the show.
And the rest of the show that you hopefully care about is brought to you by Allbirds. When it comes to quality, Mother Nature knows best, and you can take that idea and run with Wool Runners from Allbirds. This year, trade your synthetic footwear for the Wool Runners, crafted with premium supernatural materials that are comfy and durable from Allbirds. You can run to the ends of the earth, or just to the store, or the liquor store if you're me. Wool Runners are built using premium supernatural materials with a low environmental impact. So you can get next level comfort with ZQ certified super fine merino wool that's temperature regulated, moisture wicking, and itch free. There's nothing worse when you got like sneakers on, like an itch at the bottom of your foot. So the sugarcane-based sweet foam midsoles contour to your feet and put a little bounce in your step. The castor bean insoles are cushiony and naturally odor-reducing. The shoes are machine washable, so they look as fresh as the first day you got them, and they are designed to be versatile and stylish because your feet deserve better than becoming billboards for brands. I have to say, wearing shoes, like I wear sneakers almost every day, wearing shoes that you know you can throw in the washing machine, it's like provides a level of peace, like that you don't have to, like, I can step in this mud, like it'll be fine. Like you don't have to constantly be thinking about your shoes. Like your shoes should be like a barrier of protection for you. And I throw mine in the laundry machine like once every 2 weeks. And it's fabulous. It's so comforting. It's so peaceful.
It's so great for a sweeper such as yourself.
I'm constantly sweeping. Most footwear brands overlook natural materials for cheaper, more synthetic alternatives, but Allbirds is using the highest quality materials whenever they can. And if there isn't an alternative that meets their standards, they take things into their own hands and invent their own. This year, take a big step forward for Mother Nature with the Allbirds Wool Runner. Discover your perfect pair at Allbirds.com today. That's Allbirds.com. Today's episode is also brought to you by ZocDoc. No more Dr. Roulette or scouring the internet for questionable reviews. With ZocDoc, you have a trusted guide to connect you to your favorite doctor that you just haven't met yet. Millions of people are using ZocDoc's free app to find and book a doctor in their neighborhood who is patient reviewed and fits their needs and schedule just right. So whether
he's on it, it's true. Millions of people.
Whether you've just moved like you have.
I use ZocDoc down here because I need all new peeps.
By the way, I use ZocDoc up there too because I decided like 2 weeks ago, I absolutely have to get a checkup. Like, I cannot remember the last time I went to it. I
don't even have a GP.
I don't have like a
general practitioner.
I've been going to the pediatrician like my whole life. So I found one on ZocDoc. I made an appointment online with the insurance. Like, it was so easy.
Yeah, you can like tell them insurance, location, what kind of doctor you're looking for. And they give you just like options.
Yeah.
And then most importantly, you get to make a choice.
Yeah. So there's no like alarms or surprises. Like, you get there and like, they don't take your insurance. Like, it's all done for you. You also don't have to like be awkward and like call and like ask a million questions, yes, which is heaven on earth.
Yeah.
So whether, you know, you're just moved or you're just ready for like a new dentist or whatever it is, or you need like a specialized dermatologist, check out ZocDoc. It gets rid of so many of like the awkward social interactions around finding a new doctor.
Because I really don't know, if you move to a new city where you don't know that many people, you could always get a recommendation, like if you know a ton of people, but like how did people find,
I don't know,
doctors in new places
before ZocDoc?
Because literally I don't know what I would be doing.
Go to ZocDoc.com/toast and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/toast. ZocDoc.com/toast. I'm kidding.
Toast. It's confusing.
It is, especially when you're being dumb like me.
Okay, our second and third are some new couple newses,
okay,
that are interesting because our list, things are moving around on our list.
Okay.
Asa Gonzalez,
yes,
is seen on a date with Ben Simmons, who, yes, is Kendall Jenner's ex, but not like the ex. Not the most recent serious ex.
It's not a big deal, like in terms of Kendall.
Yeah, it's just like a fun fact that he dated Kendall, but like,
like, that's why we know his name, not because he's like LeBron James, you know?
Yeah, that's why we know his name, but like people who know basketball,
yeah,
do know his name. A source exclusively tells Page Six that the Brooklyn Nets star, oh, I guess he's a Brooklyn player now. He used to play in Philly. Has been dating the actress Asa Gonzalez for, quote, a few months, but the pair has been trying to keep their romance a secret. They've been hiding and trying not to get seen together. However, on Friday, the new couple was forced to go public when paparazzi spotted them out on a date night in New York City. They were photographed leaving Bond Street, a high-end sushi restaurant in Manhattan, where
such good crispy rice,
were told they dined with a group of friends. They weren't alone for the dinner, but they are very clearly together, the insider said. So a few things, like she is gorgeous. And this is how you know they're dating, because that's what you wear on a date.
Yeah, like looking sexy, black
not
dress.
Not Selena Gomez at the bowling alley.
So true. I have to say, Asa Gonzalez is not dumb. Like,
no.
I feel like she's really done like an amazing job. She's super talented and she gets booked on great roles, but there's so much more to like becoming an A-list. A
successful celebrity actress.
Right. Than just the roles that you book. And she like plays the game hard. Like, she had that Josh Duhamel moment. I mean, she popped on the scene, the Liam Hemsworth of it all. Like, she really like does well romantically. And I think she has a lot of fun while doing it. And this is another great get for her. She does need like a breakout role. I think that's the one thing she hasn't had yet. There's a lot of speculation, I think literally that you started, that she might be playing
Evelyn Hugo.
Thank you.
No, there's not speculation. It's me saying Asa Gonzalez needs to play Evelyn Hugo.
But it's
Hugo.
All over TikTok too. People, really? When they like their dream cast, she is like one of the top.
That actually like hurts our chances because that never happens.
Yeah. No, it's true. But she needs, like, I feel like she's, yes, had really good momentum. I feel like for a while people have been saying like she's the next big thing, but like it has to happen.
Yeah, I agree with all of what you said. It also helps that she's absolutely gorgeous.
She's,
you
know, next level.
Like, it helps like, you know.
Oh,
and across the board.
She's so nice. We hung out with her, remember, at the Super,
yes,
Bowl?
We did.
She's a lovely girl.
She is. And she has great style. Look at, I just can't get over this picture of her.
And she gets booked on like really good A-list roles. I feel and like she's coat. Always in, you like Oscar coat? Movies and stuff, but she's never like this, the breakout sensation from it. And she needs that. I think, yeah, she's keep always, her on this trajectory.
She's always at the Oscars.
She's adjacent.
Yeah. Okay.
She needs a moment.
She does. And Evelyn Hugo like could be that moment.
Yeah.
I'm glad she's finding love, but this does mean that her and Jason Momoa are no longer,
oh, right,
canoodling, because they were rumored on and off. They were on a motorcycle. They were in London at the same time going into the same restaurant. And I guess she's moved on.
Or maybe this is her, like, you know, he didn't want to get serious with her. So she's going to go like be out of town with some like hot New York basketball player. And just to make him jealous. And then he's going to be like, you know what? I really fumbled. I fucked up.
He's going to say, Asa, I messed up.
Come back.
She's going to say, I'm sorry.
He's going to say, come back to me, mama.
And she's going to say, I'm sorry, Jason. It's real with Ben. What we have is real.
But it's not. It's all just so, like, she's playing the long hand.
She's so smart.
I love her.
Totally. Are you ready for our next story, which is also some new celeb news?
Sure.
And it's just like person from here, person from there.
Okay.
Ashley Benson is dating throwback Brandon Davis, oil heir who dated everyone 10 years ago.
Okay, like, not to be so annoying, I just saw these two together. I was with them. And I didn't know he was like of note.
A person?
Because everyone was like, do you see them? Like they're dating. I'm like, who? Like I literally didn't care. So like I could have spilled this tea already.
You know what's crazy? I think if you came home and told me like, oh, Ashley Benson is with Brandon Davis, I wouldn't have cared. Mm-hmm. But seeing it like this, I care.
Like I just saw them at a party. They were clearly a couple and like it meant nothing to me. Who is this man?
So he like dated Paris Hilton back in the day and he was like a big part of the drama with like Lindsay Lohan. And he was like one of those like oil heirs who was just dating all the girls
okay.
in 2006.
I don't remember. Like,
and like we haven't heard from him since. Mm-hmm. And now he's dating Ashley Benson. He's 43, just to give you like a taste of like when we were caring
right,
about him.
Right. Like 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe more now.
Yeah.
And so Ashley Benson's so random to me.
Random.
Right? So random.
Yeah.
Like, okay, when you think of the Pretty Little Liars girls, like who do you think has
done- love this conversation.
I love this conversation.
I think it's been 6 months, so we could have it again.
So when I think of like the biggest success, I think of Shay Mitchell. Do you agree?
Yes.
Then I think of Lucy Hale.
Yes.
Then I think of, I don't know, it's a tie for last.
Yeah.
Troy and like- She's was like at the royal wedding.
I feel like she doesn't have a career.
She doesn't try to like keep acting.
She doesn't have a career, but she has a life.
Yeah.
You know what
I
mean?
A happy life.
Yeah.
And she does like a lot of activism. Like she does a lot of like eating disorder stuff. And she has does she have a baby? Yeah.
I don't
And know. She married, what's his name, from Suits, and she went to the royal wedding. Yeah. I think she's like a deeply happy, fulfilled person.
Yes.
So I would put her third, maybe even second. Like Lucy, the thing about Lucy Hale is like, it's not for lack of trying. Like Lucy Hale tries out for everything. She like gets all these TV shows.
She probably has like a few movies a year that come out
and flop, except that one that came out that was based on a book, The Hating Game or something. Mm-hmm. Loved.
I watch everything she's in. I love her. She's like one of my favorite.
Yeah, but you happen people. To like love flops.
That's so true.
You're literally floppy-o.
It's so true. What is that? Do they flop because I love them or do I love them because they flop?
I think you love them because they flop. You're like an empath, you know?
It's just like, why does everything I love flop?
Maybe, honestly, like not to be
maybe
mean
I'm
at all.
Curse.
No, maybe you have bad taste.
No, I you know what? I don't think so. You want to know how I know? Because of like Triangle of Sadness. Like
yeah.
If that's what doesn't flop and that's right. What's critically acclaimed, then I am just like an outlier of the culture and I'm okay
you
with
You definitely
that.
Are an outlier of the culture, by
I'm
the way.
I'm okay with that. Okay. And I'm proud.
And I'm proud.
You know, Lucy Hale will never be in Triangle of Sadness.
No, much to her dismay.
But like that's why she's
okay,
for me.
But back to the ranking, I think like we might have to put her lower because it's not for lack of trying. Like Troyan, but like Lucy Hale acts more than Troyan, but Troyan doesn't even try.
No, but like Lucy Hale, like you follow her on Instagram, like she has brand deals. She's so like brand yeah. safe and she's always, you know, on a red carpet here.
She's like the face of Avon.
She's, you know, going to Fashion Week and she's yeah. always dressed by the brand. Like she really is a celebrity who has like all of the celebrity things happening.
Endorsements.
Yeah.
By the way, I get told all the time that I look so much like Troyan Belisario.
You do.
I do?
You do, but not in the same way that you look like Victoria Fuller. Like Victoria Fuller and Troyan Belisario
don't look alike,
but you look like both of them.
I just want to say, not to be so toxic, like as long as I'm being compared to skinny brunettes, like I'm okay.
Oh yeah. Because you know? Like, I don't want to get you started on
yeah, no,
comparisons.
I have a lot of thoughts on like celebrity doppelgangers / comparisons. If you saw my show, Not Like Other Girls, my stand-up.
You know how she bangs.
You know, and if you didn't see it, my special will be coming out soon, so you'll be able to see it.
Anyways, Ashley Benson and Brandon aren't trying to keep their love under wraps. They've been spotted together numerous times over the past couple of weeks. Claudia apparently saw them.
I did.
So she can confirm. And they were on a double date recently with Emma Roberts and her new man's Cody John.
Cute.
Yeah.
I'd love to see like young Hollywood going out for double dates. I feel like we don't see double dates a lot.
No, but like we should. I feel like everyone has everyone over to their house.
Yeah, and we're never getting like insight.
It's so wrong.
Happy for them. Hope this works out. I have a feeling it won't. Not to be negative.
Yeah.
That's literally today's title. I keep saying mean things. I'm like, not to be negative.
But sometimes it happens.
No, but sometimes like you gotta be negative. I feel like negativity like kind of gets a bad rap, you know? Sometimes yeah. it's necessary and sometimes it's funny.
Yeah. And sometimes I think positivity can be like really toxic.
Toxic. I completely
agree. And like
agree.
Bony baloney.
I completely
agree.
And the
agree. Most positive people
are like so fucking annoying.
No, and like they're not. They're the darkest, meanest people you've ever met.
They suffer.
They suffer and they'll make you suffer mm-hmm. for their positivity. Phony.
Agreed.
Are you ready for our next story?
It's not for the final, is it?
No.
Okay.
It's fourth and penultimate. And this is, you
and
know,
I love when you whip out your SAT words.
This is a penultimate story because it's like, it's a big one.
Okay.
Before we come down and we bring you back mm-hmm. with the fifth. Armie Hammer is speaking out 2 years after he was accused of sexually and emotionally abusing multiple women. He has given a new interview.
With who?
With the digital newsletter Airmail.
I just want to say, I'm glad like he obviously wasn't able to get a legitimate outlet to sponsor his comeback tour. Because I feel like, okay, I want to end my sentence there. Sorry, I don't want to continue. I'm glad he couldn't get like, you know, Variety.
Yeah, but though Variety is the publication that's written up his interview in Airmail. That's a fun.
That's where we got our Airmail.
Airmail.
It sounds like I'm like a newsletter for frequent travelers.
Yeah, no, you get it like when you're in the sky.
Yeah.
Anyways, he's actually saying some serious stuff. He says that he was sexually abused by a youth pastor at the age of 13 and he contemplated suicide after the rape allegations that torpedoed his life. He says 2 years after he faced a series of sexual abuse allegations that ended his career as a movie star, Armie Hammer is attempting to tell his side of the story. In a new interview, he reveals that he contemplated suicide after his downfall.
Sometimes that his downfall.
Sometimes that Long Island accent.
It's up on you. Like,
what is that?
Downfall. Go dogs. I hope the dogs have a downfall.
And claims, okay, this isn't funny.
Okay.
But like, I didn't mean to say that.
It was funny. Like, it was funny. Can acknowledge the flub.
Back to the seriousness. He claims he was sexually abused by a youth pastor at the age of 13. He denies all criminal wrongdoing, but admits to being emotionally abusive towards former partners he had met on the internet.
Sure.
The actor, who was accused of having cannibalistic fetishes, now says that his interest in BDSM originates from being sexually abused by his youth pastor when he was 13 years old. He said, quote, "What that did for me was it introduced sexuality into my life in a way that it was completely out of my control. I was powerless in the situation. I had no agency in the situation. Sexuality was introduced to me in a scary way where I had no control. My interest then went to, I want to have control in the situation sexually." He spoke with a digital newsletter, Airmail, and told his side of the story for the first time. Airmail reported that Hammer told two people about his childhood abuse, and the publication states that it did corroborate his account with his godmother.
I have two things to say.
So he talks a little bit just about some of the accusations and how his life was unraveling and he contemplated suicide. He said, quote, "I just walked out into the ocean and swam out as far as I could and hoped that either I drowned or was hit by a boat or eaten by a shark. Then I realized that my kids were still on shore and that I couldn't do that to my kids." He talks a bit about the relationships with accusers Courtney Vukovic and Paige Lorenz. Mm-hmm. And he acknowledged that the power dynamics were off, admitting 1,000,000% that he was emotionally abusive towards both women. He said, quote, "I would have these younger women in their mid-20s and I'm in my 30s. I was a successful actor at the time. They could have been happy to just be with me and would have said yes to things that maybe they wouldn't have said yes to on their own. That's an imbalance of power in the situation."
He's like so intentionally taking responsibility for like none of the illegal things.
I mean, he's not going to go on. There's an investigation into him. He's not going to go on and admit like he shouldn't be doing interviews.
I'm just saying, first of all, like being a victim of abuse is horrible, but it is not an excuse.
No, it's not an excuse. But this is true, what happens in people who are abused as children, like, you know, grow up and a lot of times like become abusers themselves.
I understand.
And it's messed up and it's really sad. And that doesn't mean that abuser shouldn't be held accountable because like there's someone else who's suffering and it's a cycle. It's a vicious cycle. But like there's an origin.
I know, but you know, someone like Armie Hammer, who has like enormous wealth and privilege, like it is on you to break the cycle. Like it is on you to get help. You have access to all these things that most people don't have access to. Like, I don't know. It's not an excuse. So to admit that you're a victim of abuse, to kind of give context as to why you were abusive, but then only take responsibility for your emotional abuse, which is obviously bad, but it's not as worse as physical or sexual abuse. Like, this is like such a cop-out to me.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I think he's admitting to as much as he could admit to. For me, like, you know, there's not really a coming back from this. Mm-hmm. So I think it definitely gives context to the story to know like what his experience was.
I don't really care, honestly.
But yeah, that's just okay. So that's why you did what you did, but you still did what you did. He said, quote, "I'm here to own my mistakes, take accountability for the fact that I was an asshole, that I was selfish, that I used people to make me feel better when I was done and moved on. I'm now a healthier, happier, more balanced person. I'm able to be there for my kids in a way I never was. I'm truly grateful for my life and my recovery and everything. I would not go back and undo everything that's happened to me."
Okay, bye. Like, I don't know what he thinks, like, this is going to start, like, some sort of comeback. No one's interested. Like, go back. Bye.
Yeah. But I'm glad that he's getting the help that he so desperately needs because, like, even though he's, you know, on the fringe of society, he could still be harming people wherever he is. So
I guess, yeah. I personally don't care.
It's on him like to what he fix does. Himself.
Yeah, but it was always on him to fix himself. So like yeah. Now that you got dragged, you're like, oh, I need to heal. But like you needed to heal always. And it's on all of us. Like whatever your trauma is, like it's on you to heal that trauma.
Yeah.
So that you don't pass it on to others, whether it's abuse or whatever it is.
And that's why it's so also important to stop pedophilia in its tracks because right. It is something that is a cycle.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
That shit needs to stop. 100%. But it's like not going anywhere. It's like bigger than ever.
No.
People don't care.
Yeah.
But then. Oh, okay. Fifth and final story. A little lighter fare.
Is it a little lighter fare that's brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook?
Oh my God. Look at us because we're the premier sports show. So of course it only DraftKings makes sense. Came to us.
Whether you're a football fanatic or you're just tuning in for the Super Bowl 57 action, DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 57 and is the place to bet. New customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get in on the Super Bowl 57 excitement with DraftKings Happy Hour Super Boosts. Check the DraftKings Sportsbook app every day between 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. EST for daily happy hour bets. So, you know, we've been going back and forth a lot who we're going to pick for the Super Bowl. Honestly, I'm not sure yet. Do you know?
Oh my God, it's so hard because I really want to root for Jason.
But I also want to root for Travis.
No, I want to root for Jason, but I don't think I can root for the Eagles. I'm so sorry.
I know. By the way, I'm experiencing the exact same thing. Like of the two brothers, like I'm definitely more of a Jason girl.
I think that makes it good because then whoever wins, like I'll be able to find like a silver happiness. Lining in it. Like if yeah. The Eagles do win, I'll be like, oh my God, Jason, I'm so happy for you. And if the Chiefs win, I'll be like, the Chiefs, I'm so happy for you.
If you've never bet on the Super Bowl before, DraftKings is the best place to start. Very true. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code TOAST, where new customers can get $5 on Super Bowl 57 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. It's only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code TOAST. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. And again, that's DraftKings Sportsbook app, code TOAST.
Thank you so much, Turdy.
Yeah,
that's really pertinent information as we head into Super Bowl weekend.
100%. It's, by the way, we didn't even talk about the Super Bowl's happening this weekend. It's like
a super week.
Super week.
I'm really excited for the Super Bowl. What are you going to eat?
Everything.
No, for real. Like,
I don't know because I don't even know my plans yet.
I think I'm going to make nachos from the Magnolia Table Cookbook. We made them up for Thanksgiving game day and they were so good.
I saw a recipe on TikTok that's hella cute.
What?
For like how you, it's really, it's not a recipe. It's like chips, guac, salsa, whatever. But how you
present it.
It's like you make it into a little field and like, it's really cute. I'll send it to you.
Who has the time? Does it look time?
It didn't look hard at all.
Okay, send it to me. I will. I'm open to it. Fifth and final story. Peacock releases a statement after Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip incident with Brandi Glanville and Caroline Manzo. An investigation was launched into an incident that led to the early exits of Brandi and Caroline from the Real Housewives of Ultimate Girls Trip season 4 in Morocco. In a joint statement to People, representatives for Peacock and Shed Media broke their silence about what happened during the filming of the second installment of the franchise's Ex-Wives Club format in Marrakech at the end of January. Quote, the safety and security of cast and crew while shooting is extremely important and we take all reports seriously. In this situation, production immediately launched a comprehensive review and is taking appropriate action. People was the first to report about Brandi and Caroline's departures, which according to insiders occurred after Brandi took things too far with Caroline during a party, kissing her multiple times throughout the evening without her consent. It was unwanted, a source said at the time, and Caroline's distress over the matter did not seem to stop Brandi. Things escalated and physical boundaries allegedly were crossed that Caroline felt were serious and uncomfortable. Following the incident, a decision was made by production to report what happened to higher ups. Filming continued that night and into the next morning when Brandi was made aware of Caroline's feelings and apologized via text message. Still, the decision was made that afternoon, unbeknownst to Caroline, to remove Brandi from the trip early. Brandi's behavior was inappropriate, a third source said, so she was asked to leave. Later that night, Caroline decided she didn't want to film anymore and chose to exit the show on her own. She needed to process this outside of the reality TV environment, the first insider said.
I'm just like shocked that the rumors about what went down were actually true. I feel like we're always getting like fraudulent information when it comes to Housewives.
Yeah, this is really crazy. I'm shocked that Caroline left because I understand.
They protected her.
Took her side and Brandi needs to leave. It makes me wonder if Brandi like was being inappropriate, crossing boundaries, and Caroline reacted and then wanted to remove herself from the situation.
Yeah.
You know? Because, like, honestly, and Brandy, like, is
wild.
Wild, sloppy mess. Like, yeah. If someone were all trying to kiss me like that and, like, just, and was, I can imagine the way that she can be sometimes, like, I think I might get physical.
Yeah.
If my physical boundaries are being crossed, like, I could see myself
throwing a hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could.
No, I mean, it's so out of control. You know, Brandy Glanville's like such a loose cannon, and that's why everyone loves her. But she's always really, really close.
She always takes it too far.
To crossing a line.
No, no, she always crosses the line. No, when she threw the wine glass.
Yeah.
When she slapped Lisa Vanderpump. Yeah. She always crosses the line.
Yeah.
She doesn't
But this feels different than both. Like, this is so... Yeah,
especially because...
This is a sexual assault.
Her and Caroline must have met, like, 2 days before.
And my God, did she choose the wrong bitch? Like...
Literally.
Caroline Manzo, like, would never.
Literally.
Like, some of the women, like, I feel like on OC, they always used to make out. Like, some of the women are down, like, whatever, to get freaky. But she chose the wrong bitch. Like, Caroline Manzo not only is so not like that, she'll kill you. Like, yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah.
It was a really dumb decision. And I feel like Brandy's just using these UGT opportunities to make herself known again and maybe, like, one day get back on Beverly Hills. And I think a lot of people want that for her and they loved her in the Berkshires. And she's just setting herself back with shit like this.
She's such a liability.
And she's really, and I love her, but she's, like, shit like this really just reminds us, like, of how tacky she is. And this would never, like, this just is not the Beverly Hills vibe. No,
those women will not be filming with her.
No.
With behavior like this. Like, it's just, it's disastrous.
Yeah.
Also, it reminds me of that cameo of hers that went viral. Yeah. Did we ever talk about it?
But, like, eating vagina or something?
No, no. Oh. She was making a video for someone who was getting married.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if she was drunk. I mean, I hope she was, because she was just like, don't do it. Like, marriage is the worst. Ooh. Like, it was, it started as like, yo, you're funny. Getting married. Why? Like, it got so dark so quickly. It was insane.
Yeah. No, that's so Brandy.
It was insane.
She's not okay.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm glad that Bravo handled it in a way. Like, I feel like Bravo sometimes lets, like, really fucked up things. Just, like, they chalk it up to, like, oh, ladies being ladies. And it's like, actually, no, what that person did or said is, like, actually extremely not okay. And I could see them, like, literally letting this go because they're so...
You know, like, they'll address it on the show.
Right. They just, like, allow such poor behavior and they almost encourage it.
Yeah, well, it's a double-edged sword because, like, that's what makes the show go around. But, like, there is a line.
Yeah. No, this is definitely crosses the line. And I'm glad that they saw it because I could see them just, like, ignoring it.
Yeah. Or... just letting the show play out. You know, mm-hmm. Brandy, they made Brandy leave and then, like, Caroline left and they would just put that on the show. But you know what? Actually, the fact that they put out a statement makes it much more enticing to me as opposed to just, like, rumors.
Yeah.
So I can't say I'm going to be watching this, but...
But there's still another, you know, season first.
If there's Thailand. A... like a video of, you know,
the incident.
Of the incident when the episode airs, I think I would watch that.
Yeah, I mean, just keep in mind, we're talking about UGT Morocco. UGT Thailand still has to come out.
That I can tell you I won't be watching.
No, it's like we know so much about it when it's happening because, like, the fans are obsessed and there's so much that comes out about the women in the airport.
And I think the women, like, who are really want to make it a thing, like, I think they share with fan accounts, like, what's happening.
Yeah, for sure. Like, they're leaking stuff. So it's like we get so invested as it's happening and it doesn't come out for so long. Like, we're still waiting for number three.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's crazy. It's so dumb. Mm-hmm. So those were the past five.
Feel as though you needed to know.
It was kind of like the fast, like, four and, like, one big one, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The slow one.
The four were fast.
Yeah, the one was slow.
The first was long.
And that is our show. Hope this Monday, you know, carried you through to lunchtime. That's really all you can ask from the toast.
It did for us. And now we have to ask ourselves the hard question of what's for lunch?
It's so hard to figure out lunch here, like, when we're together. Like, we're always on different levels.
We had that idea for the wrap.
We did have that idea for the wrap.
And I think we have the card today.
Let's go get a wrap.
We're gonna go get a wrap.
I love
We're gonna wrap
wraps.
It up.
Rip it up, wrap.
Wrap that shit up.
I said, hey, sir, can I get a grilled chicken Caesar wrap? That's what I'm gonna say when I walk into the cafe.
Wrap it up.
Thank you guys so much for listening to The Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as podcasts anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where you listen to podcasts. My dad's a toast, leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and wickedly talented we are. Hope you guys have an incredible Tuesday, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Love you. Bye.